Welcome to this edition of City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and the topic today is the Eat Out to Help Out scheme and how it's played out in cities and large towns across the country. With me to explore these issues are my colleagues Valentin Quinio and Lahari Ramuni. Hello to both of you.
Hello.
Valentin, let's start with you. Give us a broad overview of the national picture, how this scheme has played out.
Well, the main story that comes out of this data is that although all cities are progressively recovering their pre-lockdown footfall levels, some are recovering faster than others, and we observe quite wide geographic differences. And on the Eat Out to Help Out scheme specifically, we've looked at footfall on Monday to Wednesday evenings in August, and we compared it to the same weeknight footfall at the end of July before the voucher scheme was introduced. And overall, the scheme has been fairly successful. All cities except Aberdeen, which was under a local lockdown by then, have seen an increase in footfall on the Eat Out to Help Out evenings. And data shows that visitor numbers on these evenings averaged across all city centres was 8 percentage points higher in August compared to July. That being said, there's quite a lot of regional variation and geographic differences in the country, and the scheme did not have the same success everywhere. Some cities seem to have benefited more from the scheme than others and have seen footfall increase on Eat Out to Help Out evenings more than others. So in a number of cities, and coastal cities in particular, like Southend, Bournemouth, Blackpool, the Monday to Wednesday evening activity is now higher than pre-lockdown, which is quite interesting. But overall, the main picture is that the scheme has been far less effective in large cities than in smaller ones and in coastal places. In London, for instance, the footfall was only 3 percentage points higher compared to end of July. And in Bournemouth and Southend, it's more than 20. So it's quite a big difference. And quite a few reasons might explain this difference. I think it's fair to assume that the good weather and the difficulties to travel abroad this year and the prospect of quarantine when you travel abroad may have generated a boost in attractiveness for these places. So it could be that the voucher was used by people who were there already holidaying there in these coastal places. And it could also be that in large cities, and especially in London, people who were remote working used the scheme in their local areas and not in central London. So in the absence of the office workers who would have stayed for a drink or a dinner in town in pre-COVID times, the voucher was less successful in central London.
And we've also looked at Eat Out to Help Out and how that compares to some of the other lockdown ease-ins that the government has done. Just say something very briefly on how that compares to, say, the pubs reopening or non-essential retail opening, just in the magnitude of response.
Yeah, so we've observed footfall across the week. And the interesting thing that comes out of the data is that the introduction of the Eat Out to Help Out voucher contributed to even out footfall across the week. So there's more people coming in on a Tuesday, for instance. That being said, there was no displacement of footfall from the weekend to the rest of the week. And so a short way to say this is that Monday was not the new Friday, because activity still peaks on Fridays, despite the use of the voucher.
Excellent. Good. So we've also been keeping an eye on and doing some analysis on spend. So as well as footfall, people coming in and what they're doing, but we're also looking at whether they're spending. Lahari, just say something about the patterns we've seen on spend, and then we'll have a brief conversation about how spend and footfall relate to each other.
So what we've seen is that spend has picked up a reasonable amount on Mondays to Wednesdays in August compared to Monday to Wednesday in July. What we've done is look at sales instead of looking at maybe transaction value, because if you're paying only half as much for your meal, it doesn't show through. So what we see is that sales are up about 49% across the country. So that's looking at the average across all of the cities. And even when you look at transaction values, they're up about 43%. So more people are coming in, and also they're spending more than they did. The effect, although, is not even across the country. So we see that actually the places that are experiencing lockdown. So Leicester came out of the lockdown just as the Eat Out to Help Out scheme was coming into play. And sales in Leicester actually went up about 4 times of what they were just end of July. So, but otherwise, we see places like Newport, Swansea, Cardiff, Edinburgh, where sales were actually twice as much as they were before the Eat Out to Help Out scheme came into play. On the other hand, we see some places where, like Basildon, Birkenhead, where sales actually didn't budge that much. So we saw an increase about 6 to 7%, and it, you know, in the magnitude of what the scheme tried to do, that's really not very much. We don't, in terms of the spend data, we don't necessarily see the split that we saw in terms of footfall across small and large cities, but this is because we're comparing it to the end of July. So it seems that, you know, in terms of spending, people did spend a reasonable amount everywhere, although London still was below average. So London saw about 43% increase, whereas the average was about 49%.
Okay, and so when we bring the two bits of analysis together, firstly, what's the relationship between footfall and spend? Is spend increasing pretty much in line with footfall? And what sort of, what are the variations that we should be alive to?
Again, it's a cross-country picture. So if we look at it on the average, footfall and spend are increasing in line with each other, but there's variation across places. So Blackpool, when we look on the footfall measure, actually is one of the top places for footfall, but spend isn't increasing anywhere, increasing as much. Whereas when we compare it to down south, Brighton, it's increasing, spend is increasing faster than footfall, or it's more people who are in Brighton are spending on a per capita basis more than people in Blackpool do. And I guess when we look at Eat Out to Help Out, footfall increased about 8%, but spend actually and sales actually increased 49%. So even if people were there before, what the data is telling us is that people started spending more, even if they came out slightly more because of the scheme. But I think one thing we need to be alive to is the fact that while this is all a great improvement, we're nowhere near where we used to be in August 2019. So if we're comparing it to this time last year, sales were still only about 2/3 of what they were last summer. So while this is a great improvement from where we were, say, in June or July, and it's been a steady increase, the coast is not fully clear yet.
So August 2020 was better than July 2020, but nowhere near as good as August 2019.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good reminder when we're talking about what's going on, rates and levels in terms of, and comparisons are really quite important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Let's turn to, I suppose, policy implications or policy reflections. Valentine, one for you, for, I suppose, you know, is there a future for, should there be a future? It ended at the end of August. There's been calls to extend it. I mean, your reflections on that?
Well, I think, yes, I think if we had to evaluate the scheme and its success, I think it's fair to say that it was successful in a sense that it did contribute to attract people in city centres. But that being said, in some places it hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked in the places that needed the most, which are large cities where footfall relies a lot on weekday and daytime footfall and on workers. You know, if the underlying intention of the scheme was to convince people that going back to the city centre is safe, that commuting is safe, that using public transport is safe, then it hasn't worked, because we saw footfall increase in the evening on the weekends, but not necessarily during the week for workers. So we've heard loads of different firms say they want to continue using the scheme. But that being said, it's not necessarily something the government should contribute to, and maybe there's a need for other types of policy interventions which support local businesses in places that need it the most, and where a voucher is not enough to support local businesses.
Excellent. Okay, very good. And so, Lahari, just give us a sense of what some of those other policy supports need to be.
Well, I guess one thing that we need to wait and see about is whether the government's calls to bring people to come back to work in the city centre how they're going to play out over the next couple of months. A lot of cities themselves are putting in a lot of time and resource in making public transport safe and increasing the capacity on it, and making sure this is something people are aware of and confident in using. But I guess the question for us is, well, while we think that, you know, city centres are places of success and where businesses concentrated in the past because they provide unique benefits in terms of how much people can interact with each other and how they can learn from each other. And that's going to persist. But whether the businesses that support the that are supported by the footfall, like cafes and pubs, whether they're going to survive while we undergo this transition is a different question. So if this is something that's going to take a long time to come through, then specific support needs to be put in to support the people who might be displaced and lose employment. So this might come in the form of supporting the businesses themselves. So say a place specific extension of business support, or supporting the people, which would be investing in skills and providing support for them to transition into other kinds of jobs that might be created in the process.
Excellent. My thanks to my colleagues, Valentin and Lahari. As always, more details on the work and the issues that we've been discussing, including the methodology and all the data, is available on our website. Thanks very much for listening.